So tonight we're going to talk about the Ir Miklat. And the big question, are these cities of punishment, is the Ir Miklat punishment or is it protection? Right? There is indication in the Psukim first that seems to point in both directions. And then we'll see how different schools of thought as to when someone kills someone unintentionally and goes to the Ir Miklat, is it to punish, to protect, both? So yes, you see in the Chumash, in this week's Parsha, it's mentioned, Ir Miklat is mentioned a number of times in the, it's mentioned a number of times in the Torah. And the, in this week's Parsha, I'm just going to mute everyone, but feel free to, if you have what to say, to just, you know, unmute. So the Torah says in this week's Parsha, Perek Yotes, that you go to the Ir Miklat, pen your dof goel hadam acharei harotzeach, lest the goel hadam, the avenger, the blood avenger, chases after the rotzeach, the one who kills, ki yechab levavo, because he's going to be heated with passion, v'sigun, he's going to reach him, ki yirba haderech, v'kod efesh, and he's going to kill him. V'lo ein mishpat mavish, there's no judgment of death in this case. Not sure what that means exactly. It seems to mean that if the goel hadam, if the blood avenger kills him and he reaches him when he's out of the Ir Miklat, there's no punishment of death. That's what it seems like. Ki lo sonei lo hu lo mipmo shel shom, because he didn't hate him from the day or the day before. Al kein anochi mitzavcha lemor shelosh arim tavdi olach, I commanded you to designate three cities. Velo yishafech dabda ki bekerv artecha, and the an innocent blood should not be spilled in your land. So it talks about, I have these three cities, so you could run to the three cities so innocent blood isn't spilled. It seems from these psukim that the function of Ir Miklat is that it's an Ir Miklat. It's a city of refuge, and to protect you from the goel hadam. That being said, Chazal, when they refer to Ir Miklat, the Torah does use this language, but Chazal do, in Meseches Makos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, there the Mishnah says, Elu hein ha-golim. These are those who are, what's golim? Exiled. Ahoreg nefesh bishgaga. So there, it basically says if you kill someone unintentionally, you are exiled. And that seems to be a punishment. Right? And then you have these psukim from Parshas Maaseh, which says, Velosikhu in Perek Lamehe, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the Pasuk says, Velosikhu kofer ledefesh rotzeach, don't take a ransom for a murderer. In other words, someone who's getting the death penalty because he murdered someone. Marashehu Rasha Lamus Kimos Yumas, someone who's been sentenced to death. He can't pay his way out of it. He can't take ransom. And then, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Velo Sikhu Kofer, and you shouldn't take ransom to flee El Ir Miklato, to the city of refuge, Lashuv Lashemes Baretz Ad Mos HaKohen. You can't take ransom to flee to the Ir Miklat, to return, to live in the land until, you can't return, leave the Ir Miklat until the Kohen dies. Question, what does this Pasuk mean? What are two possible ways to understand this Pasuk? Who are we referring to here? V'losichu kofer ladus el Ir Miklato. What does this mean, Pasuk Lamed Beis? Don't take ransom to flee to the Ir Miklat. What are the two possibilities? Tell me one possibility what this Pasuk means. Anyone? What do you think it means? No. Losichu kofer. So one possibility is that, you want to say, Eva?
Evan wants to say.
Evan?
Miklato is his Ir Miklat. Not, you know, so you go up and talk about the guy that is fleeing.
Okay.
It's Miklat, it's his Ir Miklat.
Okay, so what's this?
His own personal Miklat, like a...
Okay, fine. It's an interesting point. It's an interesting point to think about that. But what does this pasuk tell you, Lamed Beis? In your own words, what does pasuk Lamed Beis tell you? Lamed Aleph says that someone who's sentenced to the death penalty for killing someone intentionally cannot pay his way out of it. There's no ransom to pay his way out of this punishment. What's pasuk Lamed Beis telling you? On the surface, I think the simple understanding means that just like you can't take a ransom to get an intentional murderer out of the death penalty, you also cannot take a ransom for an unintentional murderer. To say he'll pay his way so he doesn't have to go to the Ir Miklat, which would indicate that if it's a kof, that if we're making the parallels, that would indicate what? That going to the Ir Miklat is a punishment. And just like you can't, just like an intentional murderer cannot pay his way out of the capital, the death penalty through payment, so too, an unintentional murderer cannot pay his way out of going to the Ir Miklat till the Kohen dies, the Kohen God, though we know. By simply paying ransom. So that would indicate that it's a punishment.
Why would you say that?
What?
Why would you say that? Because if he's not in the Ir Miklat, they go out and kill him. So why are you saying that?
Well, I'm trying to understand what this pasuk means. Lo tikhu kofer lanus el Ir Miklato. There's maybe a guy can take his chances. There's the question is if a guy doesn't want to go. What?
He can always take his chances.
No, but is he violating? Is that an isser? Is that a prohibition? In other words, there are two different halachos. One is if he leaves the Ir Miklat, the Goldam can kill him. The question is he allowed to leave the Ir Miklat? You're saying if he leaves the Ir Miklat, so the Goldam can kill him, the Avenger, blood Avenger can kill him. Yeah, but is he allowed to? There might be, can Beis Din force him back into the Ir Miklat if he leaves? Forget about the Gol Adab. Let's say there are no Gol Adab. Let's say they don't go. Let's say he unintentionally kills, I don't know, a convert who has no halakhic blood relatives. Okay? So maybe what this means is you can't take payment for the guy to avoid fleeing to the Ir Miklat. That's one way of understanding this pasuk. Another way of understanding pasuk is
maybe I don't understand the why do they use the word ransom? I mean, you would think it would be bribery. And who is it that they're paying the money to?
Well, again, we know that there are different, I don't know if the word's bribery, but they're saying don't do that. So, there are sometimes, we know that throughout the Torah, sometimes the term kofar is used as a payment. That under some, if your ox kills, I don't know, someone, you have to pay kofar.
Kapara.
Right? Like good.
Right. So that goes to the money goes to the person who's been wronged, the person who's been injured. Is that the same thing over here?
So I don't know the answer to your question, Dave, because it's not, we don't do it. So you're saying, what's a theoretical possibility? You know, in other words, you're saying it, presumably, yeah, that would probably make sense. In other words, don't think that you could just pay off, I don't know, right, the dead person's family, right, so that you don't get the death penalty. Don't think you could pay off the dead person's family, so you don't have to go to the Ir Miklat. Don't think you could pay some kind of kofar to achieve kapara. That would indicate that this is, if it's parallel, that it's a punishment. I'm just saying, you don't have to read Pasuk Lamed Beis like this. You could also read Pasuk Lamed Beis and say, not only can you not take financial payment, right, for the, if you kill someone intentionally, maybe Pasuk Lamed Beis says, and you also can't get out of it by running to an Ir Miklat. It's not 100% clear if Lamed Beis is referring to the person who kills intentionally, and you're saying, by the way, not only can you not pay your way out of it, you also can't say, well, let me go to jail, let me go to the Ir Miklat. It never works. Maybe. But in any case, we have this, like, again, we have this, like, lack of clarity. Is it, to what extent, is it a punishment? To what extent, is it protection? And so I just want to share with you, sort of, you know, three different approaches. It's not, you know, list of all the Mefarshim, but an example of the approach that it's protection is the Abar Bedel. He's an example of the approach that it's protection. Okay? So the Abar Bedel says the following. V'mitzvah zos be'ari ha-miklad lihimaleit shava harotzech bishkaga. This mitzvah of Ir Miklad is that someone who kills unintentionally should escape there. So this is Kvar Baba Seder El Abase Uvir Bekad Varb. So it was already mentioned in Parshas Maaseh, and now it's mentioned here. Harishon, it says, Vabnam Achare Amru Achare Ze Pen Yirdov Goldav Achare Otzech. So he says that after we're concerned that the Goldav will run after the Rotzeach, Bolodia Shlotzival Golos HaRotzech Bishkagaladisho. The Torah says that you go to the Yermikla unless the Avenger come and try to kill you, is trying to tell you that it's not a punishment. Keino bar onshin, because a person should not be punished who killed unintentionally. Yan lo asos harazos l'rtzodo. He didn't willingly commit this crime because of a philosopher. I'm not sure who this philosopher is. Shein roi lahadi shachote bishkaga. It's not fitting to punish a sinner, someone who sins unintentionally in general. Levisha Odesh, Edo Ella Im Lahazhir Hachote Shloyakta Od. The punishment is only to warn the sinner that he shouldn't sin again. Olahazir Shar Nashim Shloyasukacha, or deter it to warn the people they shouldn't do this. Viyadua Shim Koha Odshim Lotusar Hashkaga Ki Aid Bakoch Adam Lamoda. But we know that with all the punishments, you know, you can't stop things that are unintentional. And because of this, it's not fitting to punish him. He says that it's not a warning for other people. What are they supposed to protect against? Don't unintentionally kill someone? Like, it's unintentional. So therefore, the Torah mentions that the Torah never says that it's to punish him. It's interesting that Barbanel was not he didn't paskin, or he didn't comment based on what the Gemara says, what the Mishnah says, what the Gemara says. He reads the simple reading of the text, and that's how he interprets it. So like, even though you can tell, well, the Mishnah says Elu Hei Nagolim, which indicate their exile, which indicates a punishment. He says no, the Torah doesn't say that it's a punishment. And he says, "Ki im kidei latzilo miyad gol adam." The purpose of the Yerbikla is to save him from the gol adam. Shibroso also v'cham levo v'yudav achram, because if the person's heated, he's going to chase him after. V'sigla shor yir ba'derech v'yuchal rotzeich ladus el Yerbiklato. So, and then he says that if the rotzeich doesn't end, flee to the Yerbikla, if he call nefesh im heyosa bilti roi lemisa kevin shloharak b'chavana. So he says that, but if the Gol Adam reaches him, and the Rotzeach, the killer, cannot reach the Ir Miklat, and the Blood Avenger kills him, even though he wasn't fit for Misa, right? Why wasn't he fit? The big problem is, according to Barbara Dell, why should the Gol Adam, like, be allowed to kill this guy? Because if he's not fit to be punished. V'zeh shamar v'loid mishpat mavis ki lo sonehu lo rotze lomar sha'rotzeach eino ben mavis, that the murderer, but it says eino mishpat mavis, actually the way Barbanel says is that the one who killed him, the one who killed accidentally, is not a ben mavis, he shouldn't be put to death. V'chein roi l'chabos alav v'lishamro sh'lo yimiseh gol adam k'chom levavo. Therefore you need to protect him so that the gol adam doesn't kill him in the heat of passion. So then, and then he says, "V'yadanu." Let's skip to the next paragraph. "V'yadanu loma yahara gol adam b'makom shein basin horeg." So why should the gol adam be able to kill him when basin can't kill him? Because again, he didn't do anything wrong. It was unintentional. "She'asiba hi she'arotzeach yeshal shnei oivim." The murderer, the one who killed, has two enemies. "Ha'echad hu basin l'fi she'achotei rotzeach hu pasha k'neged basin b'pirkom ha'ra'am me'altzavaro uva'avural mitzvah satorah." So what is, he committed a crime, and that's against Basin representing God, representing the Torah. So he sinned against that. And the second enemy is Gol Adam, the Krovei Ames, the Blood Avenger, the relative. He has two enemies he has to deal with. He has to deal with Basin because he committed a crime, violated the Torah. And number two is that he has the relative, the relative's family. Says the Barbanel that the killer is innocent with respect to the first enemy, Shu Basin. Why? Lefi shelo chata klal, because he didn't sin at all. Kafi kavanasa, he didn't do it intentionally. Avokvar Yishar Loha Oyev Hasheni. But still, what remains to him is the second enemy. Vahu Krove Hames, Goli Adam, these are the relatives. Kevin Shev Sadim Kaim, at the end of the day, he caused them a loss. Ulishakech Hamasam, and to calm their anger, which may be natural, understandable, Tsiv Sator, Shigala Rotzeach, Lir Miklad. Torah commanded that the Rotzeach, the killer, should go to the Ir Miklad. Amnam Yitzias Rotzeach Mir Miklato. If he leaves the Ir Miklad, Lo Pasha Le Beisted. He hasn't committed a crime to Beisted. V'chein Ein Lo Alzeach Chet Mishpat Mamas Beisted. Beisted won't kill if he leaves the Ir Miklad. Aviyivsha Viyachta Le Krovei Ames. But he will have sinned to the relatives of the deceased. Ki Yitzias Misham. When he leaves there, Mora Bizayon V'Ketzef. He demonstrates contempt. He's basically showing contempt and insult to the family of the deceased. He doesn't care that the fact that they're so upset that they want to kill him. He doesn't care. They feel that he was wrong and nothing's happened to him, and he just flaunts there. He is not empathic at all. He just leaves. So you can't fault the Gol Adam when he kills him. Because he still did something wrong. He still caused them a loss. He still was negligent. It's interesting what the Barbanel does. He tries to make this split. I don't find it so compelling, by the way, but he tries to make this split between a sin against Beis Din, which is really only a sin if you do it intentionally. And because the purpose of a sin offering is just simply to deter you from bad behavior, you didn't do anything intentionally wrong. And then he caused a loss to the relative's family, and for that you have to deal with that. So I didn't have it here. I forgot to bring you this message also. For him, the I didn't bring the quote, but the Brahman also says that if the Kohen Gadol dies, because you leave the Ir Miklat when the Kohen Gadol dies. The Kohen Gadol dies, so this would lead to introspection and the recognition of the fleeting nature of life, the Brahman says, and therefore the avenger's anger would subside. So basically, the Brahman basically is like he's going full in with the fact the Torah doesn't mention it, that it's a punishment, and it only mentions that it's to escape from the Gol Hadam. So therefore, he has to justify then why, like, what are some of all these rules? Why can the Gol Adam kill him if he leaves? So he has to say that it's such a slap in the face of the Gol Adam. And again, it's almost like the Gol Adam, his feelings are understandable, at least at those times, those societies, that it's almost understandable. And therefore, if he leaves, this is what's going to happen to him. I saw somewhere that says that, I forgot, I think the Chama Leibowitz, I believe, quotes that, you know, there may have been an evolution between, you know, the times of the Torah where people were a little more violent and maybe a more violent tendency was acceptable, and the days of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah's only referred to as golem, as a punishment, as opposed to originally it was more because people, like, they wanted revenge. So this was a more humane way of dealing with these things, at least in biblical times. So that's sort of like the first approach.
Goel is the same word.
What? Sorry?
Goel Adam and Goel is the same word.
Yeah. He's going to redeem.
We use it in two different meanings.
Well,
Goel Adam is an avenger, and in Goel, it means to go into exile. So you somehow...
Oh, Goleg. You're saying Gimel Lamed Hey is like Gimel Aleph Lamed. You're saying those two words are similar. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not 100%. I understand what you're saying. You know, the question is Gimel Aleph Lam. It's interesting. Someone took Gimel Lam and Hey. I'm not sure. Interesting though.
So, Rabbi, if the only reason is to protect him from the Gol Adam, why wouldn't he be allowed to pay a ransom to them? And maybe negotiate with them.
Right. So it could be, right. So it could be the Abarbanel. Could be the Abarbanel may read it. That pasuk is going on the intentional murderer, and maybe according to Barbadel, he might have the ability if he wants to leave. In other words, there could be, he's like an extreme view of the barbadel, but he might interpret this pasuk of if you hold his only protection, then maybe lamed hey lamed beis is referring to the one who kills b'mezid intentionally. So you know what I'm saying? So then that wouldn't be a problem according to the barbadel. That's how you have to explain that. But it's interesting, right? Because that's how he says. Lo ein mishpat maves. The law is it's an interesting question. Perek Yutes pasuk vav. When it says v'lo ein mishpat maves, is this referring to the gol hadam who kills the rotzeach outside of the Irmiklat, or does it refer to the rotzeach himself? According to the barbadel, it's referring to the rotzeach himself. He really shouldn't have died. He didn't do it intentionally. So that's sort of one approach, that it's a protection. Okay, the tzror hamor, he was a rabbi who lived in the 15th and 16th century in Spain, Portugal, North Africa, and he takes the other extreme. And he says, Lefi she'en roy, why was he here? Lefi she'en roy, lefi kedusha eretz yisrael, she shafech badamnaki. Because of the kedusha of eretz yisrael, innocent blood should not be spilled. Ka'omra v'lo tachnifu es ha'aretz. So what he does is, this pasuk, perek lamed hei, pasuk lamed gimel, from Parshas Maaseh, says that he'll say this, lo tachnifu es ha'aretz, right? And lo tatame es ha'aretz, ki adam hu yachtif es ha'aretz. You shouldn't, desecrate the land through what? Through spilling blood, whether it's intentional or unintentional, right? So that's how he reads it. He says that because ein roi she shafech bam damnaki shenag b'shoge she shafech damo kedama rotzeach b'mezid. So he says that in Parshas Maaseh, that's referring to what you were suggesting before, Michael, is that Mike, that these psukim are talking about killing intentionally and unintentionally. Chayin ein roi lefi kedushas aretz she rotzeach avi she yah b'shoge she yah holeh chol makom she yirtzeh matameis aretz. How can someone who murdered just walk through the land and make the land impure? So we're gonna place him in a small area. Really, someone who is really fitting that maybe this person, that his blood should be spilled because you killed someone. Right,
it's like bidud that was done to Betzorah, so he was outside the camp. So here, a person that spills blood, so he should be removed from the holy land.
Correct. Uvesibas kolzet sifsa Torah sheyifreshu sheish arimiklad. That's what we have, six arimiklad. Bofet sherotzeach yeah. In a fashion that the murderer, the killer, will be embarrassed and shamed, and he'll sort of be imprisoned and like enclosed in an enclosed city. And he won't leave to make the land impure and to trample over it. Because it happened through him. If he just leave the Ir Mikla without any shame or embarrassment, Hutar dama lekrovei arotzeach. Yeah, you really should die. We're giving you a reprieve if you remain in jail. But basically, if you just leave, then it's open season on you, right? And he's not embarrassed from his sin, and then he leaves basically, and he's gonna make the land impure. And he goes on to the rest of this piece. We're not gonna read the rest of the piece, but he basically says that what's with the death of the Kohen Gadol. Because the death of the Kohen Gadol himself is partially responsible, right? The death of the Kohen Gadol atones for a sin because the Kohen Gadol is also partially culpable for the murder, because he's ultimately the spiritual leader of the people and he's responsible, and therefore the death of the Kohen Gadol atones, right? And therefore, the death of the Kohen Gadol, in a sense, atones for his sin. Okay, so that's how he, right? That's how he sort of understands that. So that's like the other extreme. There are aspects of this which is to protect, and there are aspects to punish. And then you find some mafarshim like the Ralbag who says both things, right? He's going to say He's going to say that on the one hand, the purpose of the Ir Miklat, Torah Tchachma Lashkit Hamiyat Lev Gol Hadam Sheyeshiv Shaman Moskoy Gadol. The Torah wisely want to quiet the noise, the heart of the Gol Adam. They should sit there, live there until the death of the Kohen Gadol. Ki Az Yisnecham Gol Adam Misa Sabes Beroso Ki Sar VeGadol Kvo Kohen Gadol Beis. Because then maybe the Gol Adam, when he sees the spiritual leader dies, he'll calm down and he won't take revenge anymore. So there seems to be protection. But then he also says it's Lechayev Galus Ahorik Bishkaga. This is a to, that he's Chayev Galus. And he says, there's a toels nifla lahavi harashim al sheyu nizharim ma'od shlolasus dover ye efshar shiyischarish tibene arvigas nevesh mishkaga. So the Rabbag says, what you can't say what the Barbadel says. You didn't do anything wrong. No, you have to. It's not ones. You're not. You don't go to the Ir Miklat if it was completely like an unavoidable act. There requires some amount of carelessness that results in the person's death. And the Gemara in Makos describes the nature of the carelessness. But it's not simply that if I, God forbid, cause someone's death, then I automatically go to the Ir Miklat. It has to be a certain level of negligence. And so it's a punishment as well. It's a punishment as well. And he says, like, and look what he writes here in this week's parsha. The Rabbag says that why do we have three cities for Ir Miklat? So he shouldn't be killed, right? And also limaleit nafsho migol adam, so he could escape from the blood avenger. V'lanosha, so to punish him. So we have, you know, some mafarshim only take the protection view. Other mafarshim only take the punishment view, and there are Rabbag example who takes both. And I think I just want to make one final point with this, and I think that the Torah, in some sense, one a fascinating detail about, I'm not completely, you know, bought into the Barbadel's point, because the truth is there are many korbanos that we bring. We bring a korban chatas specifically for unintentional sins. So maybe you're going to say that. So I guess he would have to say that maybe a korban you would bring for something unintentional. So that's not really a punishment as much as maybe a galus that's very severe. So he's saying that, so he would say that the Torah wouldn't give you such a severe punishment for something unintentional. Maybe that's what he would say. But it's,
Rabbi?
Yeah.
You know, Cain also went into Golos when he killed Hevel.
Right.
So maybe that's the origin of Golos, that the Cain went into it also. That's one point. And the other point is that Moshe ends Sefer Bamidbar, which is basically the end of the whole Chumash, because the Devarim is recapitulation,
right,
with the Ir Miklat. So now he brings it up again. So right. It must be a very important factor. Something must be very important here for him to mention it twice.
Well, yeah. So I think there are some additional features that were added. I guess you're about to go. You got to do three now and three later. Well, I think the point was, that's really a separate point. It's a good point. I think it's a separate point. I think that Moshe, I think it says he was Mabdil. He separated three cities right now. So I want to tell you maybe Moshe's eagerness in terms of doing this, which is an interesting topic unto itself. But I want to make one final point here, and that is the Torah creates a tension between the Kohen Gadol and the killer. You have to understand something. The killer is now in jail. He's in his Ir Miklat, and he wants the Kohen to die, right? Because he can't leave until the Kohen Gadol dies. So in some sense, we created this institution that creates a tension between the Kohen Gadol and the killer. And perhaps, and it's not a simple thing to do that, but maybe, even though it creates this tension, perhaps the Torah is trying to teach us that this really is a societal problem. You can say it's a Kohen Gadol's problem. It's more than that. It's a societal problem. You're creating this tension. Or some people like the Kohen Gadol more. Some people like the killer more. Can they leave? But then I want the Kohen Gadol to die. This is a, not just Kohen Gadol, this is a societal problem. The Torah takes a strong stance regarding death caused by negligence. The Torah here takes a strong stance regarding the value for human life. That it's not an individual problem, but it's a societal problem. And that's why perhaps the Torah wants to create this tension and say it depends on when the Kohen Gadol dies, to tell you, yes, the Kohen Gadol, the death is mechaper, it atones, and maybe we'll calm the Gol Adam down. But I think there's another reason, is to tell you that when things are going on in society, and to tell you that it's not just, oh yeah, it happened to him because of this, there was a fight and it led to this, or, you know, there's a bank robbery, or there is this, and this is unusual, that's unusual. That when the murder rate is going up, the killing rate is going up, even unintentional, if it's by negligence, that is not simply, oh, okay, it happened, it was negligence, that is a societal problem.